you hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
What night while on life's raging sea, it looked like I was gonna suffer defeat. The blackest of night closed off all light. My heart sank with fear. My desperate cry, it rang out with fright. All I could see was no hope in sight. When faith was all gone, I met the one who was looking for me. He come looking for me. Yes, he did. Oh, let me tell you what my God can do. Well, he'll make a way when there ain't no way that I could see. Well, I drifted so far, but Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fears. And now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who was looking for me. Oh, hallelujah. Ain't you glad he come looking for you? He come through the storm just to get you. Hallelujah. Oh, Satan had already picked out my grave. His plan to move forward, to move me away. Well, the blackest of night closed off all light, and my heart sank with fear. Oh, I know my destruction was a matter of time, but then Jesus appeared. He said, this one is mine. Oh, I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who come a-looking for me. Oh, he come looking for me. Yes, he did. He come looking for me. You ought to be on your feet right now praising God because he come looking for you. He made a way when there wasn't a way. He said, I'll make a way when there's not a way. Hallelujah. Give him praise in here today. Oh, Jesus was far, but I drifted so near. Oh, he rescued my soul and calmed all my fears. And now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who was looking for me. I'm telling you, church, God will make a way. And I know that he's touched each and every one of you in some type of way. God will step through that storm where others won't go. God said, I'm not leaving my child alone. What was it he said? I'll leave 99 just to save that one. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I drifted so far, but Jesus was near. Oh, to rescue my soul and to calm all my fears. And now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who was looking for me. Oh, I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who was looking for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. He come looking for us, church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just give you praise in your house right now, God. Thank you for every one of us, Lord, for being together another day. Thank you for the storm that you brought us through, God. We give you praise and we give you honor, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For not only what you've done on the cross, but for who you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give God another great big hand clap. Thank you, Jesus.
Found it. As I was preparing something to minister on today, the Lord just kept putting in my heart about how important his name is, that we speak his name, and how powerful his name is. And, you know, if you really speak the name of Jesus, you speak it with any kind of faith or any kind of authority, any kind of meaning, it changes things. It absolutely changes things. The name of Jesus is the most feared name in the world. That's why nobody wants you to pray in that name. That's why everybody wants to ban it and take it out. And I got thinking about this. If I go to any city or any little small town in the country, and I just talk to an individual and say the name of Jesus, it may not change a whole lot on the earthly realm. But you know what's happening in the spiritual realm? We speak the name of Jesus. Things are changing. Demons are taking notice. You just spoke a name that defeated them. demons are rising up saying, uh-oh, he's saying Jesus. That's the one that put me under forevermore. That's the one that sealed my fate. That's the one that came looking for them and rescued them. And now I don't have them no more because of him. And this is why our schools are banning it, and why different organizations, you can't say it, and the military taking it out and trying to take it out. And it's just being widespread that we can't say Jesus. It's not, you know what it is? It's not that Jesus offends any human flesh. Jesus offends the demonic spiritual realm. That's the problem. It doesn't offend flesh. It offends the spiritual realm. And so when we invoke the name of Jesus, all of a sudden the you might see a sweet little person. You think it's the sweetest little person. You know, oh, look at his little cute cheeks, little old man walking around the cane. I could just pinch his little cheeks. He's so cute. Stir the name of Jesus around him and see how his mouth changes. All of a sudden, cuss words start flying out. All of a sudden, don't give me none of that. I don't want none of that junk. Don't be calling that. You know what happens? It's stirring something inside that's bigger than who that person is. It's tapping into a deep rim in the spiritual realm. And that's why it's important we say Jesus and we pray in the name of Jesus and we speak the name of Jesus. We proclaim the name of Jesus and that we're not ashamed of it. It is in that name that demons absolutely shudder with fear when we speak that name, because Jesus is the one that died on the cross and rescued me from hell. Jesus is the one that ended the work of the enemy. Jesus is the one that destroyed the life of the devil. Jesus is the one that every demonic force has to bow down to. They can't overtake. They must surrender. And it invokes fear, because here's what happened. Here was Jesus on the earth. He was all God and all man. And he was walking the earth. And he was preaching and teaching and healing. And he was just, you know, a great Jewish rabbi of his time. And all of a sudden, something happened. They captured him, and they killed him. So the demons are excited. Oh, this great philosopher saying he is the Son of God, he's dead. We're done with him. Done with him. But something happened on the third day. It wasn't over. The death was only the beginning. The cross was only the start. But the third day, something happened. This huge rock that sealed the mouth of the tomb, it moved away. Supernaturally, it moved away. There was no man there with tools to move it out of the way. It began to move because the breath of God was causing it to slide out of its position. And all of a sudden, our Savior, who was mortally dead for 3 days, wrapped in grave clothes, something began to happen. The grave clothes began to dissipate off of his flesh, and he rose out of those clothes and came out of that tomb. And then the devil says, "We're in trouble. Something happened. We ain't never killed a man that rose again." Glory to God. We ain't never killed a man that came back from the dead. Something's wrong here. What is it? It was Jesus, the Son of God, that did just what he said he would do. He says, "You tear this temple down." But in 3 days, he wasn't talking about the temple of Jerusalem. He was talking about his flesh. His flesh was the temple. And 3 days later, it rose from the ashes of death. The grave couldn't hold him, and death couldn't keep him. He came out of the grave. And when he did, the demons were defeated forevermore. And that's why when we say the name of Jesus, the demons fear, and they shudder, and they shake, and they scatter. That's why we need to lay our hands upon our family, upon our children, upon our lives, upon our health, upon our flesh, upon our mind, upon our home, and say, "In the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit that would try to usurp authority. In the name of Jesus, I invoke healing. In the name of Jesus, I invoke prosperity. In the name of Jesus, I invoke deliverance. In the name of Jesus, chains have to fall. In the name of Jesus, shackles have to be loosed. In the name of Jesus, you can't stay here no more. Man, you've been defeated by the blood of the Holy Lamb of God, and you have no power or authority." We have lost our Jesus voice. We have lost our word. We have lost our prophecy. We have lost everything that God has put in there. We've quit operating in it, and we're letting the devil come in and pull up a chair and drink a cup of coffee and let him sit there in our house without defying him and saying, "In the name of Jesus, you're not welcome. Get out of my house. Get out of my life. Get out of my mind. Get out of my family. Get out of my children. In the name of Jesus." It causes things to happen, and everybody's afraid of it. Even got preachers won't say it. "We pray in your holy name." Whose holy name? Maybe my name's holy. You ever thought about that? How's the devil know who you're talking about? in thy holy name, the creator of all. Well, who's that? I mean, do we go around? I mean, I don't go, when I see Bruce, I don't see him every Sunday. Hey, brother piano player, singer, how you doing? Who's that? Hey, Mr. Guitar Man, who's that? Hey, Mr. Going Singing Everywhere, glad to have you. I call him by his name. Hey, Bruce, that's who he is. Why do we want to dance around who Jesus is? Why are we ashamed to declare the very name that saved me, that healed me, that delivered me, that I have everlasting life because of what he did? My Lord, Jesus is my Lord. He is my Lord. He is my King. He is my Redeemer. He is my Healer. He is my Creator. He is my Restorer. And my God's got a name. It's not Allah. It's not Buddha. It's not the dog in the sky. It's not the sun, moon, and grass. My God has a name, and his name is above all names. And there's no other name where we can be saved but the name of Jesus. My Lord. And I found my own self losing my song when it comes to speaking Jesus. Losing it. Because we let the world come in and begin to just pound on us. And we fail to forget, I have got Jesus living inside of me. I mean, why am I tolerating and accepting discouragement and fear and pain and frustrations whenever I had Jesus living inside of me? He has set his throne within my temple. The Spirit of God no longer dwells in the tents of Jerusalem. They now dwell inside of man. We are the tabernacle of God. We are the holy ground of God. We, church, are the sanctuary of the Most High. We carry him everywhere that we go. He doesn't leave us because we don't feel him. He remains inside of us. Let's use him. Let's pray to him. Let's confess him. Let's prophesy the word out of our mouths and let our ears hear that the devil is defeated and the devil is powerless in my life because God is in my life and his power cancels out the power of the enemy. Our ears need to hear what our mouth is saying for it to become real to us. Our ears need to hear it. That's why it's so important couples tell you they love each other. I love you. It's important you hear it. You know, don't make the stupid mistakes I made through the years and say, well, I come home every night, don't I? That don't go good with a woman. Men don't do that. I come home every night, don't I? Ooh, that wasn't a good response. No, tell them you love them. We need to have, our ears need to hear words from our mouth. It's important. Know what Jesus says, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if we are not speaking Jesus, if we are not speaking life, if we are not speaking power, if we are not speaking deliverance, if we're not speaking healing, if we're not speaking the word of God, then we must examine what's in here. Because Jesus says, what's in here will come out. Are we talking defeat or are we talking victory? Are we talking negative or are we talking positive? Are we praising God or are we cursing God? Because the same fountain can't produce both sweet and bitter water. We must produce one. I want to produce the fountain of Jesus and speak in his word. Let's get into scriptures. You don't think I'm making all this up. Philippians 2. I couldn't make all this up, church, anyway. Philippians 2. Let's start with verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, talking about Christ, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant or slave, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because of this, because of what he did at Calvary, God hath highly exalted him, hath given him a name which is above every name. Which means this, the name of Jesus is above the name of doubt. It's above the name of fear. It's above the name of anxiety. It's above the name of frustration. It's above the name of turmoil. It's above the name of hurt. It's above the name of guilt. It's above the name of shame. It's above the name of the past. His name is above all names, which means there's no name that supersedes him, which means if I call his name, then anything else in my life doesn't matter because his name's going to cancel out what I've been walking in. His name above every name. It's above every name of man, above every name of preachers, above every name of prophets, above every name of anybody reading the Bible, above every name of political leaders. His name is above every name. You know, I don't think any of you if you say a prayer and close it out in the name of Jeff Gordon, you'll get your prayers answered. Now I got to pick on Rainbow Boy. I never liked him. You know why I don't like him? Because he's young, good-looking, and rich. I can't stand him. Anyway, that's what I used to always say about Gordon. He's got hair. Yeah, I know. We don't pray those names. We don't say, oh, in the name of Michael Jordan, Lord, help me. See, no name moves in the spiritual realm anything out of our way but the name of Jesus. And you know, we can go through the motions of religiosity, and we can bow down to man's law, and we can light the candles, and we can do all the hmms you want, meditation, and, you know, Debbie, the commercial I still watch. Anyway, this, not you, Debbie. We can do all the meditation, we can do all the hypnosis, and we can try to get in touch with our inner spiritual self, and we can drift away into a no man's land. And we picture ourselves, you know, sitting Indian style. And we're on the clouds, and you hear the instructor say, now just get to your happy place. But you know what? There is no happy place outside of Christ. And we can't get in touch with our inner self apart from Christ. It's amazing how we search for so much peace everywhere except the cross. That's the only place that it's found. You want stress relievers? You ain't got to leave home. Tim, you ain't got to leave you. You ain't got to leave Julie. You want peace? You go to the foot of the cross. Say, Lord, I need peace. Help me, Jesus. You stay right there in your living room in front of your TV and get peace. That's good news, ain't it? You ain't got to get in the Wrangler and take off. God, give me peace right here. We search everywhere except in the name of Jesus, which brings healing. And I want to challenge you. You begin to pray. There's times you don't know what to pray for. And there's times you ought to just enter into his presence and just begin to call his name. Jesus, I just love you. Jesus, here. Jesus, you know my name. As we confess his name, you know what happens? It begins to build up in our spirit. And man, before you know it, it begins to change. You can't keep saying the name of Jesus and stay discouraged. You just can't. You can't keep speaking that name and stay tormented in your mind. It makes things go away. Because when we speak his name, demons that were there have to flee. They can't stay in his presence. The demonic man taught us this in the story. When Jesus went to the other side of the lake, and there was a man they put over in the graveyard. He was a crazy man. He was a lunatic. He lost his mind, and they had chained him up. And he was cutting himself with rocks. And I mean, he was a lunatic. He'd be in Broughton today. Turn around. He was out there. And they put him away for his own safety and safety of other people. And when Jesus, the Bible, you can read his story. He doesn't say anything. Jesus crossed over, began to walk toward the man. And before Jesus said anything, the demons inside that man began to say, why have you come to torment us? The demons recognized who Jesus was. And understand, Jesus was a normal man as far as what we would see. I mean, if we lived in his day, he was a normal man. He had, you know, probably longish hair, and you know, he picked up a beard, and he looked like a Jewish person would look at any other Jewish person. Jesus did not stand out in any other way than a normal Jewish male other than who he was. Talking about the outside. He blended right in. So why do these demons, when they see this bearded, long-haired man walk up to him, begin to cry out? Because they knew who he was. Did you know the demons know who you are in Christ? They know that, man. And they know when you start praying and you start speaking the word, they know they don't have a chance. Because there's fire in your eyes that they know they can't get away from. It's not a pretend patty cake religion. It's an authority and a power that causes deliverance. You ever prayed with someone? I know you had through the years. You took hands, you prayed with someone, and immediately you felt the Holy Ghost. You just felt the presence of God. And others like a cold, dead, wet fish. You know why? There wasn't no power there. There wasn't no power. You take somebody's hand, don't feel nothing from them, there's no power in their life. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's no power. You can't take the hand or pray in earnest with a fellow believer that's filled with the Holy Ghost that you're not going to feel the anointing of God. It's like electricity. I've prayed people before, and you have too. I know you've joined hands like an electrical circuit going around, like you just got shocked almost. Just, you felt a current almost coming through. Whew. That's because we have Jesus, the power of Jesus living in us. And that's what the devil can't compete with. Remember what I said last week? The spirits have to have a tabernacle to dwell in. They can't have any power outside of a tabernacle. That's why they come in human flesh. You know, even the story when the demonic man, when they said, Jesus, when you cast us out, cast us into the pigs. They had to have a place to go. They had to have something to live in. And when they went in those pigs, remember what the Bible says? The pigs went crazy. And they ran all around the cliff and died. Possessed pigs because of all those, that demon called Legion, which meant many, many spirits, many demons, Legion, went in those pigs. We need to speak the name that's above every name. There's no name higher. There's no name greater. And we can't be ashamed to pray and to speak the precious, holy, immaculate name of Jesus. It's almost like folks have a problem with it. They'll say Lord. They'll say Christ. You know, Christ was just means the anointed one. I mean, that's what it means. Christ means the anointed one. But they'll pray in Lord. They'll pray in Christ. They'll pray in Heavenly Father. They'll pray. I mean, they'll give all these titles. Do you realize I'm a son? I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a friend. I'm a male. But none of those are my names. Those are titles of what I am. You know, my name is James. You know, on my mortgage statement, it doesn't say to the husband of the house. I just pass it on. It has my name on it. James Lewis. James D. Lewis. D's for divine, by the way. In case y'all don't know, James Divine Lewis. James D. Lewis. So, it doesn't matter if we're not praying in the... That's why Jesus says to do all things in my name. To be baptized in my name. To call upon my name and you shall be saved. Everything's about his name. Our God has a name. And we can't substitute that name with just titles. You know, I know y'all aren't going to believe this because everybody calls her grandma, but she got a name. Does anybody, besides my family, anybody know her name? What's her name? Gladys. Now everybody calls her grandma, and I think she's okay with that. She's kind of like our little grandma, church grandma. But if the person didn't know, if a visitor came in, and I said, if you got some money to give for the trip, see grandma, they'd be looking around saying, she looks like a grandma, She looks like a grandma, and there's a bunch of grandmas in here. Who's grandma? It's a bunch of grandmas. They wouldn't know who that was. But if you said Gladys Minton, then they could figure out who that was. And so when we just pray any name, Lord, in your name, well, that's there's no power behind that. Demons ain't afraid of that because in your name didn't defeat him. It wasn't in your name that crushed his head. It was Jesus Christ. You remember what the angel first told Mary? The angels gave him a name, gave God a name on the earth. The angel appeared to Mary and says, you are going to conceive and have a child. You're going to be a virgin. You'll know no man. But the Holy Ghost is going to conceive in your womb a child. And his name shall be called Jesus, Savior of the world. He has a name. Dee's baby has a name. She didn't just, you know... When they do what they do, I don't know if they're to the hospital to get the birth certificate or whatever. So what's the baby's name? Just call him somebody special. Okay, somebody special. I mean, he has a name. Maverick. And he even knows that name now. And Maverick hears his name as I'm calling through the microphone right now. Maverick, Maverick, Maverick. He hears that name. And already, as young as he is, he recognizes his name. Isn't that amazing? Do you know your dog recognizes their name? You ever try calling your dog something else, they respond? We've all done that. Maybe I'm the only idiot that's done that. You know, I've tried doing that. My dog name's Hunter. You know, sometimes we'll say, we got a dog next door named Blaze. And I'll say, Blaze, come here. Blaze, Blaze. He don't move. Now he'll look for him. But then I'll say, Hunter. He knows who it is. He knows his name. Even my cat. And I thought cats didn't know names. They do know names, I guess. Our cat learned her name, Sophie. She looks right up. So cool. We heard cats know their name, but I guess they do know their name. We like names, and we need a name. And we have a God that has a name. And it's important we use that name and everything that we do because in that name, things change. If you got something you can't figure out, a burden so big or a mountain so tall or chains so shackled, begin to speak the name of Jesus to your situation, and you will see on your behalf God move. Because he has to. The Bible's clear. If you ask anything in my name, I shall do it. In my name. Don't be afraid to call upon him. Let me see your Bible though. Where are we at? Her print's so small. 21. You're not even there. You're in verse 9 through 11. Oh, 10. I'm sorry. Verse 10. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Now, we tend to think about that as a future, and it will be. There'll be a future time that every knee will bow. They'll have to. And confess he's Lord. Don't mean they'll be saved, but they'll acknowledge he was the Christ. He was the anointed one. He was the Messiah. But you know right now, every knee bows that name? Right now. Every knee bows that name. Right now. When we speak the name of Jesus, every knee in the heavenly realm, every knee in hell, of the demonic realm, will bow their knee, because demons have to bow when we speak the name of Jesus. They have to. They can't stand the presence when we're invoking that name. That's why it's important that we speak it and we let it come out of our mouth. That's why we pray every prayer with earnestness, that we close it out. Lord, it's in your name, the precious name of Jesus, that I pray this and declare this. You know what praying in his name does? It authorizes the prayer. It authorizes it. It's kind of like, when you get on the phone with someone and they say, I got to have your verbal authorization to continue this order. You say, you have my permission, whatever. They say, thank you, Mr. Lewis. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we are authorizing our prayer to be accomplished. We're authorizing. That gives a stamp of approval that it's going to happen. Because when we just pray without the name of Jesus, we're praying in our own abilities, and we can't make anything happen. Joe Brown's a wonderful man, a great godly man, but outside of Christ, he can do nothing. And he can pray all day long. I'm Joe Brown, Lord. I'm Joe Brown. Don't you hear? I'm Joe Brown. But when he says, Lord, this is your servant and child, Joe Brown, and in your precious name, the name of Jesus, I put this before you. What Joe is doing, he's giving God permission to carry out what he has asked for, because the name of Jesus authorizes his request. It authorizes it. It's the stamp of approval. It's the kind of like the final, the end. That's it. It's kind of like the Looney Tunes. Remember how he used to go off? That's all, folks. Well, when he prays, that's all, folks. It's done. He sealed the deal. But when we fail to mention the name of Jesus, then we are not letting him carry out what we're asking for. It's important we realize that. Every knee has to bow. And I'm going to tell you something. When we start speaking that name and praying in that name, you will feel, even while you're speaking it, you'll feel the fear begin to leave you. You'll feel all that is on you begin to lift off of you, because you know why you're afraid? Demons. You know why you're stressed? Demons. You know why you're frustrated? Demons. You know why you're sick? Demons. You know why you're upset? Demons. See, we're in a spiritual realm, and these things come into our lives and attack us. And they hibernate in there. They get in there and they lodge themselves. And man, they'll stay as long as you let them stay. And the more you don't say Jesus, the longer they stay. And the more you don't pray, the more settled in they get. And they get inside your, and this is why we see people that one time walked so close with God, and we see them drifted off now. They're not where they were, because little by little, they've allowed the demons in their lives to stay long enough to pull them away from where they were, because they didn't bind it and rebuke it. James tells us in chapter 4, verse 7, to submit ourselves to the Lord, which means surrender. Surrender to God. Resist the devil. There's times we got to resist. And then he will flee. That's what the Bible says. I mean, you know, everybody's always talking about, man, the devil won't leave me alone. Oh, man, he's on my back, on my front, on my head. He's all over me. Ooh, the devil's all over me. I mean, we just almost excited about it. We're about shouting, we're about speaking tongues over it. Over the devil being on you. I mean, we get so excited about that. Instead of saying, you know what? I'm going to resist. The reason he's on me is I'm not resisting. I'm not fighting. I'm not rebuking. I'm not binding. I'm not taking authority over these things in my life.
and speaking the Word of God to them. Because they don't exercise it. We must exercise what God's given us. Let me tell you this. I've lost some of you because you're doubting now. Listen to me. We're so quick to say, I got Jesus. But who is Jesus? I mean, really, who is he? Is it just somebody that's going to take you to heaven? Or do you have what Jesus is? I mean, if all of a sudden you came into $1 million, you wouldn't spend like it was $10,000. You spend like it's $1 million. We got the whole package with Jesus. We got the whole package. It's not just so we go to heaven. It's to give us power here and authority here to walk in victory over. The Bible told, Jesus told the disciples, remember the 70 sent forth, and they came back in Luke rejoicing and saying, Lord, we're so full of joy because even the demons are subject to us through your name. He said, that's great, but don't rejoice in that as much as you rejoice in this. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But Jesus was making it very clear that his disciples had authority and power to tread over scorpions and tread over serpents. And we're not talking about picking up West Virginia rattlesnakes and dancing and speaking in tongues not to get bit. Y'all seen them shows on TV? Whew. My Lord. I hope the Lord God gave you more sense than that. Serpents are spiritual demonic forces. And we have the power to step on them and crush them through the Word of God. We have that authority because Jesus is there, not because of us. Understand, there's no healing preachers. There's a healing God. You know, there's no healing movements outside of the movement of God. And so we must be very careful to realize that we don't run to man for our source or run to a church for our source, but we run to the throne for our source. And we run to the foot of the cross because what he has for us, he's got for everybody. Period. It's available for everybody. So when I got saved, you know what? And I want to encourage you to do this. I read this today. Somebody had written, and it was really, I thought it was really good. That we tend to go to everybody. Nothing wrong with this. So please hear me. Nothing wrong with it. But I want to encourage you to go a step a little deeper. We run to people and say, I want you to be praying with me about something. And we believe in prayer of agreement. That's important. But how many of us are praying for it ourselves? That's very important we do that. That we have enough faith that we go to God. Not that we don't need anybody else to help us. That's fine. But when we're running all over town having everybody pray with us, if we took our own time to seriously drop to our knees and say, God, in your name, this is the need. And in the name of Jesus, I ask that it be done, and I put this before you, and I know by faith you're able to bring it to pass in my life. God, I'm your child, and you're my God. We have a covenant between us, and I'm exercising that covenant now, and I'm praying now. God, hear my cry, see my tears, hear my mourning, and raise me up from my ashes. God, clothe me, and wash me clean, and purify my heart, and restore my joy in the name of Jesus. And man, you can't come out the same as you went down when you pray like that. You just can't. The ashes can't hold you. Sorrow can't keep you when you pray like that. You will come out different by speaking the name of Jesus and believing for yourself that God hears you. If Joe Brown, he has Jesus, he has the same faith I have or the same faith giver. It's just a matter of him saying, you know what? I've got Jesus. I love Pastor James, and I believe in laying on of hands, but you know what? I can't get to him right now, and I'm down here in Mooresville. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I've got Jesus, and he lays his hand upon his pain and says, in the name of Jesus, as your child and as your seed, I prophesy the word of God upon my flesh in Jesus' name, and something happens. The room dissipates, and the demons that hung around him are now lifted off and gone forevermore out of his presence, and he begins to feel something he didn't feel before. Speaking in the name of Jesus, prophesying that word upon he, you know, his fingers, when he first came to the fire department, they were crippled up like this, and he began to say, I would shake his hand like this, really they were nubs like that from, I don't know what it was, he just had crinkled up fingers. But anyway, that was in the fire department, and you know what he did? And I just think about this. I'll never forget it. Joe told me. I didn't know he was doing it until he started receiving his healing. And he told me he was been doing. He started hearing the word and being in church. And, you know, his faith was getting built up. And he began to pray for his fingers. He never came to no healing line that I know of for it or anything specific. But he began to pray for his fingers that God would straighten them out. And I remember he came in that fire department door one Sunday morning. And he says, "Look, James, they're about halfway out." I'm like, "Man, what happened?" He goes, "God's brought them out." He said, "I'm praying for the full healing. God's going to bring them all the way out." And then it wasn't too much longer later. He comes one Sunday morning, says, look, Pastor, fingers completely straightened out that had been crippled like that from a disease. You know why? Because Joe spoke the word of God and spoke the name of Jesus and had faith as a child that Daddy can take care of anything. You know, with daughters especially, from what I understand, I'm not a daughter, but what I understand, hearing my mom talk, that they never kind of lose that little girl mentality for Dad. No matter how old they get. Am I right, Loretta? Kind of, you don't really lose that, even though you might be 50 years old when it comes to Daddy, you're still his little girl. And when it comes to Daddy as a daughter, you still feel like he can do anything. That he's my daddy. He's my hero. What if we could have that same earnest dependency upon God our Father? No matter how old we grow, or how sick our body feels, or how discouraged our mind gets, we remind ourselves, but Daddy, you're my hero. And you can do anything. So God, I stand before you, humble as a child, that you take this off of my life and bring me the healing that I need. If we could have that same, you know, Jesus, when the little children came, what he said? He said, "Such is the kingdom of God." You know what he was saying? A child's dependency and faith. I mean, you know, like at Abby's age, she believes, you know, you still have pretty much full control of her life or what anything that happens. I mean, she depends on you for everything. You know, she needs new jeans for school. You know, mom, all she got to do is say, "Mom, I need new jeans. Mom, I need some shoes for cheerleading," or "Mom, I need lunch money for school," or "Mom, everything," you know, and you can provide that for her if you can. Same way in the kingdom of God, if we would have that same earnest humility to say, "God, you can provide for me what I need. You got it all. I mean, you're the daddy of daddies. You're the granddaddy of daddies. You got everything that I need. You got healing in this hand. You got redemption in this hand. My Lord, you can fling one finger and bring joy. And you can speak one word and invoke peace. And Lord, you can just wave your arm and everything that was there has been removed. And I've been restored back to a place I was before. I don't remember how I got here, but God, in one instant, you can restore me back and take me to where I was when I left. Thank you for that, Lord." That's who our Father is. That's what He has for us. He can do anything. Begin to speak the name of Jesus. Every knee has to bow at that name. And that's why the world is scared as H-E-double-L over that name. Because it raises up. I mean, you can talk to people about it. You know, you talk to a lot of folks about the Lord. You know, I was talking to a guy, I told you a few weeks ago, he's a Catholic, or he's not a practicing Catholic, but Catholic by name. And I asked myself, "Well, how do you feel about where you'll be when you leave this world?" He goes, "Well, I think I'll be all right. So I'll try to do right. And, you know, da, da, da." And I said, "But don't you know it's about Jesus Christ? It's about you accepting Jesus." He didn't say a whole lot with that. Just kind of mumbled and we kind of moved on in conversation. Why are we so afraid? Oh, demons don't want you to say it. And that's why when you're around certain people, you see something rise up. The demons, it's not them, the demons in them rising up. Speak it over your home, over your family, over your marriage, over your children, over your health, over your finances. Invoke the name of Jesus over every part of your life. And let Him have it. Father, thank you for this word of God. You have a name higher than any other name. There's no other name we can be saved, delivered, set free, healed, other than the precious name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for the resurrection power we have because you rose. You are the first fruits, and then we are to follow your example, and we too will resurrect at the appointed time. We too will rise up and come out of our tomb at the right time forevermore, that death will finally be conquered forever. The flesh will never perish again. The flesh will pass away no more. That's our promise in your word. For those in here this morning that are fighting such battles of fear, battles of sickness, battles of defeat in their mind, God, I pray for an encouraging spirit to come upon them even now, that'll rise up in them, remind them of who they are. They're not defeated. They are victors because you have overcome. That they have the victory today over everything attacking their lives. Let them begin to speak the precious name of Jesus to their flesh, to their body, to their home, to their marriage. The precious name of Jesus, it changes things. Give us boldness to declare it in the name of Jesus. I pray for hearts to be healed in this place today, for souls to be restored. God, for lives to be changed for the good to your glory. Every knee has to bow at the precious name of Jesus. And I want to speak over the congregation now, prayer over everyone here. I speak only by the authority of the name of Jesus and by what your word says. And I speak over every demonic force in this place today that's inside every temple, inside every tabernacle that's in this place. Every demonic spirit of sickness or discouragement or hatred or envy or jealousy, or pride, or arrogance, or defeat, or stress, or anxiety. Every demonic spirit that has set up residence inside of this sanctuary, I take authority by the word of God, and I speak in the precious name of Jesus Christ alone, that these demonic forces be lifted off and done away with, and that freedom reigns in this place, and that healing comes forth, and that chains fall off, and that hearts are restored, and joy is restored, and peace is restored, and power is restored, and victory is restored, and authority is restored in the name of Jesus. Every demonic force has to bow at that name, and I bind and rebuke every spirit that has taken its residence inside of us. Every dark shadow has to leave when the light of Jesus is proclaimed. And I speak that and bind every force of evil right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We take authority over it and send it back to hell and out of our lives. We speak that, prophesy that now, Father, by your word and your authority and by faith that you hear our prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that demons can't stay when we call your name. Thank you, Jesus, they can't hang around when we begin to call upon your name. They have to flee, as your word says, and they are fleeing now as we are resisting and binding and rebuking every force that tries to take us over. Free us, Jesus. Free our hearts, free our minds, and free our spirits by your grace, your love, your mercy and your power. In the precious name of Jesus, we declare this and give you praise. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you this morning. Thank you for being here with us this morning.